registered. This was the first registration when Quirinus was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, Merry Christmas. Funny enough, you're going to have come in here while there was still light outside and likely leave in the pitch black dark of the island, which is perfect for our candlelight idea of gathering tonight. Now, when it comes to Christmas, what are the words that you... What's that? Oh, am I going to bump the candles? Oh, I'm going to light on fire. Oh, yeah. Normally, we have battery-operated candles, but tonight we have the real deal, so I should not start myself on fire. When we think of Christmas, what are the words that tend to come to mind for you? Joy, peace, love, hope, generosity. These are the themes that we talk about when we talk about Christmas. But in our scripture readings tonight, one of the words that shows up throughout them is this word zeal. Zeal is actually one of the big words that God uses to describe himself in this season. Zeal is not a word we tend to think of when we think of Christmas. What does zeal mean? Zeal is a fervent, passionate commitment to a purpose. It encompasses intense enthusiasm, ardent devotion, and an unrelenting pursuit of a mission or a goal. This is the word that God uses to describe himself around this idea of what we call Christmas. This word is about an emotional fire that expresses itself in a commitment. So what exactly is God zealous about? And why would we be talking about this tonight? What we see in these texts of Scripture is that what God is passionate about is our salvation, is the salvation of the world. Jeffrey read from the prophet Isaiah, and here's the type of things that he says that God is zealous about. Light breaking out into the darkness of human sin and despair. God is zealous about being the solution for the problems and pain within all of us. So think about that for a moment. We tend to think of God as this far-off being, this person, this power. But here, the way the Bible talks about it is that God is passionate about individual people coming into salvation from their biggest problems. From the problem that's at work within them that screws everything up on a daily basis and hurts the things we love most. God is zealous about fixing that problem. The problem within us that makes all these messes. This is what the Christian faith calls sin. The other thing Isaiah highlights is that God is zealous about deliverance from oppression and fear in the world. Think about that for a moment. God is passionate about being the solution for evil, the evil that threatens each one of us, the evil that's at work in the world, breaking the world. We all, in the quietness of our own heart, but also in our conversations with each other, we rage against evil. We hate it. We hate what it does to us. We hate the pain it causes in the world. The scriptures are saying that God is zealous about bringing evil to an end. And that God is zealous about doing all of this, saving the individuals and conquering evil in order to bring us into joy. This is what God's passionate about. That we would have true fulfillment. That we would have happiness and wholeness. This is what God is zealous about. But it doesn't just stop there. Isaiah goes on to say that God is zealous about societal change. That he wants to bring an eternal kingdom of peace and of justice and righteousness under the rule of the Messiah. That God actually wants human flourishing in the world. And all of this, God says, will be accomplished and sustained by his zeal, which means God will be enthusiastic for this salvation, but he will also be determined to accomplish it and won't stop from making it true. This is God's zeal. God's zeal is for your individual goodness. God's zeal is for the goodness of the world. And we hear it in that Isaiah text of Scripture. We hear it in that reading. But we can also see it when the angels come and announce that this solution has come. In the gospel story that we read tonight, it says the angels, this host of angels, comes from heaven with good news of great joy. That's how God describes his message. Good news of great joy. Who needs that? I need some good news that results in great joy. Like if somebody said to me, this is on offer, there's a deep part of me that would resonate with the need for that. That I, in the reality of my family and my home and the person I stare at in the mirror in the morning, I want good news of great joy. And this is how God expresses his zeal to the world through the heavenly hosts. He announces salvation through a song sung by a heavenly choir. Because it's all good news. But what does God's zeal look like in action to accomplish this? It looks like the child in a manger. This is God's great intervention in the brokenness of the world. This is where it starts for us. That God's zeal, when you look at this image, we see that God's zeal is humble. God's zeal enters into the reality of human life. That this message, that the church proclaims is all about God, the divine creator of the universe, entering into your real life mess and giving you the solution you need for it. For your brokenness, for your pain, for your struggle. The good news of Jesus is that God will come right into it, right from the start, just like your life started this same way. And it's humble. It's understanding. That God's zeal is gentle. As gentle as this child. Because his gentleness is seeking to woo your heart into trusting in him. He's not demanding your compliance. God comes into your life gentle in order to woo you into trusting in him. We also see in this story that God's zeal is for the forgotten. The whole story of the shepherds is God saying, I come to the supposed little people, the insignificant people, those forgotten by society or on the edges of all of the hustle and bustle of this life. You might feel like that kind of person. I work, I toil, but who knows me? Who cares about me? Do I matter in this world? Am I just another cog in the wheel of this great machine? Here, the gospel is that God is zealous for those kind of people, people like you and me, average, normal, everyday, blue-collar folk. That God's message of heaven goes out to the edges for those people, saying, this world may have forgotten you, but I didn't. You and your problems matter to me enough that I would come for you. This is all of what's being communicated in this story. This is God's passion. And his zeal is for the suffering. Just as Mary and Joseph are in a time of great hardship, they can't even find a place to sleep and end up in a barn. This is where God's zeal comes to those who are struggling, just trying to get through another day. For a lot of us families, Christmas is a beautiful ideal. But man, is it a lot of work. Like, how many parents here are just, like, tired getting to today? Like, We, after all of this is done, my wife and I, we're going to go, we're going to do some family stuff, we're going to eat, we're going to celebrate, and who knows what time we're going to get home, and then we got to wrap 6,000 presents, because I've got 5 kids. I suck at wrapping presents. It is the height of human suffering, wrapping presents. Like, the anger that comes out of me that I'm like, this does not work, and there's not enough tape to fix this mess. Christmas is hard work. But I think it highlights the fact we don't have a ton of resource. Getting through each day and getting through important days is hard work. And here God's zeal is saying, I come to those who are struggling in this life. Not to mention those who are suffering most in this life. I complain about presents. What about those who can't buy presents? What about those with no family? What about those without home? Those are the ones that Christ is saying, I have come to suffer with and for. God's zeal to save humanity is the true spirit of Christmas. Like, Christmas celebrates God's unstoppable commitment to rescue us through Jesus. The term we use traditionally for the birth of Christ is the incarnation. And what it means is God takes on human flesh and becomes fully human. The creator of the universe becomes part of the creation. This same child will live a perfectly loving life unlike the rest of us, so that he can die for the sins of humanity and be a ransom for the worst of us. This child born of a virgin's womb will rise from the grave in the resurrection to conquer evil and death. And it all starts here in this moment. Tonight, if you came searching for peace, if you came searching for love in this dark world, if you came looking for some kind of hope or even some smidgen of joy, then you must understand that all of those things are the product of God's zeal in Jesus. This is what God comes to do for us, to save us from what's killing us inside, that we might live the life of love that we know we're meant to live. But we need that intervention. We need a cross to crucify what's killing us. And we need a resurrection to save us from the grip of evil and death. We need something big to happen to break us out of this darkness. And it all begins with the simplicity and the beauty of a child being born to save real people like you and me. This is what we call the good news of the gospel. That God does intervene to save us from what assails us. What I want to close with is also a bit of vision for those of us who are followers and believers in Jesus. Our epistle reading tonight was from Titus, and it talks about Christian zeal. That if our sins have been forgiven, if we share in Jesus' resurrection from the dead, if there's new life put into us, then we are meant to live passionately for good in this world. We're meant to live with a deep commitment to do what is right and beautiful, to better the world, not take from it. And so Paul writes in Titus that for us who follow Jesus, we're meant to have zeal to renounce ungodliness, that we don't participate in the things that break this world. He calls us to have zeal to love God. For us, a passionate pursuit of God is the highest good because God is all good. And for us to have a zeal to love our families. I was thinking of our parents tonight and grandparents that are here. That you would have a zealous, unwavering love for each other. That you would sacrifice to love others. That you would be able to hold your children or adult children, look them in the eyes and express the love that you have for them. To say, I love who you are and I feel privileged to have you. Over the next 2 days, tonight, tomorrow, don't just give gifts, speak gifts to one another. Love each other in the way that you know they need and want to be loved. For those of you that are married, take the time to express your love to your spouse tonight. Maybe you're not super confident in the gift you gave, but intentionally speak the words that often lie hidden in your heart. Tell them how much you love them and show it. But for us also to recommit ourselves to zeal to love our neighbors. Love them as you love yourself. Care for them in the ways that they need. And zeal to love our enemies. We give no justification and no reason as followers of Jesus to ever hate anybody. Ever. So recommit yourself to love for your enemies. And lastly, a zeal to love the world. Make this place good. Participate in God's mission to share the gospel and meet the needs of others. But for all of us tonight, the person seeking God's zeal for the first time and the Christian wanting to grow in zeal for good works, we all share the same need to receive Jesus for the areas of our life that need it most by having faith in Jesus this Christmas. In Him, God's zeal for salvation and for transformation is perfectly fulfilled, meeting our deepest desires and equipping us to live with love, humility, and purpose. This is the way of Jesus this Christmas.